Hey, welcome to the Door to the Supernatural, and we're excited. Now, today we're going to get into the nine gifts of the Spirit and how they unveil God to a world as well as to you and I. And when we see these things in the Scripture, we'll say, oh, I didn't know that, or wow, that's neat. But you'll begin to see how it affects the believer and the unbeliever, the unlearned and the unbelieving, when we start operating in the gifts of the Spirit. So before we do, though, we want to again confirm to you and verify that miracles are still for today. The first miracle is going to be out of Camagüey, Cuba, and out of Bulgaria. So let's watch these miracles. We'll be right back with you.
Deixa eu ver.
Is that good?
Tá по-добре, не? Мога ли така? Да или не? I don't get tired now.
She doesn't what?
She said, I don't get tired when I breathe now. Usually she gets tired.
Oh, she doesn't get that now. And she doesn't get it now. Could she walk real fast?
No, she cannot run.
Really? All right. Now you see that man right there, pastor? You see the pastor there? Run over there. Go ahead, run over there. Run, run, run. That's it. That's what I want. Now come on back here. Where's your mom? Now, come on, let's you and I run back to mom. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's you and I run back to mom. There you go. Keep running, keep running, keep running, keep running. Oh. Okay.
No problem.
Now, see if she's breathing hard. She's not breathing hard. She's not breathing hard.
Yeah. Hey, miracles are still for today. Don't ever doubt it. And God's waiting to use you. You are the reservoir of God's anointing. Rob, today we're going to start in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we're going to go from 8 down to verse 11. And if you can read those for us.
Yes. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills.
As He wills. So the Holy Ghost divides as He wills. And so we know that the gifts of the Spirit, like speaking in tongues, is, yes, we can orchestrate it, but we also understand that it's in line with His will. In other words, He'll lead us, He'll guide us, and so forth. These nine gifts that are here in this passage of Scripture reveal, I believe, nine characteristics about God.
Yeah.
And I believe that when we operate in these gifts, remember that nobody can say that Jesus is Lord. In other words, nobody can ascribe glory to His deity without the Holy Ghost. So if the nine gifts of the Spirit do unveil God, then they declare the glory or the deity of Jesus Christ by these nine gifts. And so the first one says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." The word of wisdom. What would wisdom be, Rob?
A directive or in a certain situation that only an advice from the Lord that could turn and change someone's life. It could turn them into a direction that would change their finances, their health. Just a word of wisdom from God.
A word of wisdom would be the ability to use knowledge or to extract victory out of a situation.
Yes, yeah. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. And so it would be like when Peter came to Jesus and said, we have no tax money. Jesus gives him a directive.
Yeah.
And every miracle has a portion of the word of the gifts of the Spirit in it. And they may crisscross. Sometimes they can't be segregated.
Yeah.
I mean, divided asunder. But they are in there.
Yeah.
And so one of the things when Jesus tells Peter, go take up the first fish and in his mouth you're going to have a piece of gold. Now, my question when I read that, I think, now, why did Jesus tell Peter to do that? I think that God does things by wisdom or gives us a word of wisdom to release faith.
Yeah, in Peter.
I think that wisdom, to me, wisdom is the ability to infuse faith as well as then to extract or to activate it for the miracle.
Yeah.
Like Jesus would say things to people and they would be a word of wisdom to Him, infusing faith into them.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, He would say, now go do this. That would be a word of wisdom. Now Jesus was setting an action into motion that would extract faith that would bring forth a miracle.
Yeah.
So like when Jesus told Peter, the centurion come to my house. Jesus said, I will go. And the centurion said, well, why don't you just speak the word? Jesus said, I perceive this kind of faith.
Yeah.
This guy understands something. So it was he had wisdom about the authoritative structure of God. So I think that wisdom has to do with me being able to preach or to share faith with someone and then having a word or directive of how they can release that faith.
That's good.
You remember when Jesus, the man that was wealthy, came to Him and said, what must I do that I should inherit eternal life?
Yeah.
And Jesus says, well, keep all these commandments. He said, I already did this.
Yeah.
So then Jesus gets a word of wisdom and says, this is what you haven't done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so in order to correct all that you said, this is a step. This is what a wise man would do. He would surrender it all and then follow me, and you will have eternal life.
Yeah.
Well, the man went away. In other words, he rejects the wisdom of God. What does he become? Yeah. A fool.
Yeah.
A fool.
Yeah.
So when I think about wisdom, it would be, Rob, that a man would, maybe God would give man a seed, or a man was reading scripture, you know, given it shall be given.
Yeah.
God, I believe that you can, Father, cause this seed to multiply. God, where would you have me sow it?
Yeah.
Now, that takes a word of wisdom to show this man, this is how you sow it, this is where you sow it, and this is to who you
sow it. Yeah.
Sow it.
That's good.
And even the wisdom of confession, of speaking things as it is, as it's not. In 1 Corinthians 2, 9 down through 14 says that we speak not like the earthly wisdom, but we speak as the wisdom that the Holy Ghost teaches us. So he even teaches us, Rob, to speak, gives us a word of wisdom of how to declare something, decree something, or to speak something.
Yes, yeah.
And so when he gives us a word, now, I know that people have sheets of, well, these are my 10 confessions. And and I understand that, you know, we mimic and we follow people. But I would say that it would be more advantageous to you that if you wanted a confession of faith, that you would go to the spirit of faith and study the scriptures that you are believing God for, healing, whatever it might be. And when that faith comes, then the Holy Ghost writes on your heart what you should say.
Yes.
Because that Abraham didn't go to King Amalek. He didn't go down and visit Lot. He didn't ask Melchizedek.
Yeah.
God taught him what to say and how to say it. And so Abraham not only obtained faith from God, but he also obtained the wisdom to release that faith.
That's good.
And did he, but he was having relationships with Sarah. That's the side effect. That was obsolete without faith in motion.
Yeah.
They tried that for 100 years or 75 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But he started mixing faith with it, and faith is what brought life to the seed.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what did he do? God gave him a word of wisdom. This is how you speak.
Yeah.
And when we are delivered up, remember Jesus said, don't take thought what you're going to speak or what you say. It'll be your heavenly Father, Matthew 10:20. It'll be the spirit of your Father in you that speaks.
Yeah.
Even when we speak, let him give us our conversation.
Yeah.
Now that is a tongue, but it is the tongue of the wise or of the learned. So it's a tongue of wisdom. And what does it do? It confounds those that are hearing it.
Yeah.
And sometimes the Bible tells us, be quick to hear, slow to speak.
Yeah.
We need to let the Holy Ghost give us an utterance, and it'll be a word of wisdom that will confound the fools of the earth. 1 Corinthians 12. Look, it may be foolish to them, but to you it is the wisdom of God.
Yeah. I think of Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 when he's speaking on marriage and divorce and celibacy. And
yes.
He says, you know, this is not a command, but I perceive that I have the Spirit of the Lord.
That's right.
Right. So he was speaking the wisdom of God by the Spirit into a situation.
And he gives you great wisdom.
Yeah.
I were that you were all like me, not married.
Yeah.
Then he gives another word of wisdom. You will have trouble in the flesh if you marry. Then he gives a third part of the word of wisdom. If you are not married, you will follow the things of God. But then when you get married, you have to desire the things of the world that you may please the one that you have married.
There you go.
Be wise, men. Be wise. Be wise. Go and be thou wise. No. Marriage is the greatest institute.
Yeah.
Besides the covenant of the new birth that man can ever encounter.
Amen.
You treat it with holiness. You treat it as a place of sacredness. You honor your spouse. You support your spouse. and you'll be happy. Well, I've done that, and they haven't been happy. Well, the word of wisdom says, thou shalt have trouble in the flesh. So, listen, God will help you, and you do not cave in, do not give up. You do things God's way. And so the word of wisdom, I think, Rob, is the ability not only to impart faith, because sometimes, Rob, we run into people that, you know, they're in a world filled with senses. They're in a world filled with evidence. They're in a world that, and I run into Christians that, you know, are just faithless. They are going through Christianity, but they never use faith. They don't, because it's like they're broken cisterns. And whenever hope comes in out of the scripture, you know, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. So whenever hope is there, faith is enough to bring that hope to pass, or that expectancy, or that revelation. And when it's not there, or when hope starts going into a fractured vessel and it's got a crack in it by, for some unknown reason, you know, offense, a weariness, tiredness, disappointment, discouragement, all these things. And then when it goes in, it runs out as fast as it goes in. It just doesn't have time to take a root. Because remember, the kingdom of God is like a man that sows a seed. It has to have time to take root. So if it's leaking out of a cracked spirit, a broken soul, a wounded heart, a offended place, then that's going to leak out. But we have to be wise enough to place faith into people. And sometimes it takes, you know, the doctors and the lawyers and the Pharisees would come to Jesus and say, well, what would you say here? And Jesus would say, well, you read the scripture say this, but... Then what he does is he draws wisdom out of scripture. There is the primary base of the understanding of man that brings him just to a place, gives him enough knowledge to stop him from committing iniquities and transgressions. But then there is the word of wisdom, Rob, that causes him to go beyond that and to produce a life that is now superior to that. One is almost like self-works. The other is the infusion of I live by faith and not by sight. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. So that wisdom that comes in from the revelation of the scriptures is not just, wow, I see that about God. There should be enough wisdom in it as is pursued. That's why I think that God tells us, as Paul told Timothy, take these things that have been given to you through the presbytery, through prophecies. Well, these are writings of the prophets. And so if we could take these and meditate upon them. Allow not just the wisdom to live above the surface meaning of a scripture, but to see the wisdom, the true
wisdom.
Wisdom that is filled with the attributes, the character, and the nature of God with the scripture. So it would be... like, you know, the Bible says that, you know, care for your brother. Okay, if the Bible tells us to go an extra mile with a brother, then that means that we go an extra mile. But then it would also seem to me that if I could go the extra mile to somebody that wasn't even requesting me, I may gain an opportunity or create a new season beyond the mile that would ordinarily come from friends and people that were around him. If I offered him an extra mile, guess what? Now I'm taking him into a new season, which opens me up to sow him with seeds that have never been sown.
That is good. That is good.
So if I could have that type of wisdom, and then I could talk to him, and I would hear his story, hear what's going on in his life, God could give me a word of wisdom to break into that and say, well, have you ever thought of this? Wow, no, I never thought of that. Have you ever perceived that, you know, that might have been God to protect you?
No, I
never thought of that. Wow, you mean God's, that's been God. God's been doing that because
time.
He loves you. Really?
Wow.
And then give him wisdom to introduce him to the cross, or wisdom to show him how to respond to honor or to serve God or to release faith.
And to recognize what God has already done and what he's doing.
Absolutely.
I think of Jesus walking down the road to Emmaus with the two guys. And they're walking and talking, he's going down that mile, right?
Yes.
And he reads, he tells them, explains himself through all the scriptures. But when they sat down and they broke bread, their eyes were open and they knew who he was.
Right.
Yeah, so that's that extra level. He explained the scriptures, so there's the knowledge.
Right.
But the revelation of faith had to come from
the higher wisdom. It's not just the scriptures that, declare this is who he is. Yeah. But it's the scriptures that reveal this is what he has done and is doing, has accomplished, and is desirous to do. So it's kind of like all of these unfolding of this. I think that the word of wisdom operates also not only in the words that we speak to confound our enemies or a confession or a declaration against the enemy.
Yeah.
You know, if we had a word of wisdom, we spoke it to the adversary, the adversary would just, I can't compete with that. Yeah. I can't. Because remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So he would say, what am I supposed to do? Because it would be a word of wisdom. It would be something that would be beyond his comprehension, but powerful enough that he knew this is God.
Yeah.
And then I think about the word of knowledge, Rob, that would help us give answers to people and open supernatural doors.
Yeah.
Like we talked about the word of knowledge being given to Abraham.
Yeah.
This is how you speak, Abraham. God has placed faith in his spirit, and he reminds him of it. Did I not say, so shall thy seed be?
Yeah.
Those five words, grace and faith infused in your spirit.
Yeah.
And then he says, now your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham.
Yeah.
Now, when he did that, that was a word of wisdom. Hmm. But what if we had the word of wisdom with us in life to speak things that were constantly opening doors to the supernatural? Hmm. The people that seen Jesus do miracles, they said, where does he get such wisdom that he can do miracles?
Yeah.
So
they tied the two together.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, a word of wisdom, just like when we said, an angel would come in the room. Hmm. Now, a lot of people say, that's just works. Really? It might be the voice of wisdom that says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord.
Yeah.
It may be a word of wisdom that's saying, son, I know that you can do this, but this is not what I would do if I came to your house. Mm. So why would you do it when you are my house?
Yeah.
So the word of wisdom, Rob, unveils how we can do this.
Yeah.
And each one of these gifts unlock faith in order for the individual to receive.
Yeah. Now, would you say if someone had, say, a vision from the Lord, like Abram?
Yes.
But they had no way of acting it. They had no understanding or an idea of how to fulfill that vision and say, you come along, or, God uses someone and you speak, you give an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be considered a word
of wisdom? That would be a word of wisdom.
Yeah.
The word of wisdom, remember, is the ability to take knowledge or to take a circumstance and bring a victorious end or a supernatural end or an intervention of God or a declaration of God doing something that man couldn't see.
Yeah.
So if you had like that, where somebody has a dream or something, what are they lacking? I always tell people this. Yeah. Most people do not have a lack of faith.
Yeah.
Jesus said, if you had faith as a mustard seed. So Jesus doesn't talk about the lack of faith. What he's talking about is if you understood, if you were wise enough to sow a seed, if you were wise enough to go through the ups and downs, stay steadfast in the seasons of temptation, and allow the seed to have its full work. If you were wise enough to do that, you would see the kingdom.
Wow, that's good.
So when we talk about this, it's not just, okay, God gave me a vision. I'm just waiting for the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, God's going to bring it to pass.
Yeah.
Well, he may.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is, we need to say, God, what would you have me do?
Yeah.
God, give me the wisdom, the direction. I loose the word of wisdom, God, to direct my thoughts.
Yeah.
God, to articulate my speech. God, I loose the word of wisdom that, God, my steps would be ordered of you that I may walk like good men.
Yeah.
God, I loose the word of wisdom that, God, it will cause me to have your thoughts. I loose the word of wisdom that, God, it'll take me to the places to make the connections that I need to be. I loose the word of wisdom, God, that I'll be wise when to release my faith in this.
That's good.
Just so if we don't do those things, Rob, we are always waiting on something that is God, but may never come to pass.
Without activated faith. Yeah, I don't want to put you on the spot.
No,
But what about, could you give a couple instances where you've used the word of wisdom in a situation or what God did? Just
yes, when God called me to go on television, I had no television background. God gave me a word of knowledge, and he said, you're going to be on television. But in that word of knowledge was an infusion of the gift of faith. Mm. I just said, I'm going to be on national TV. I'm telling you what, I'm going to cover this world with on TV.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in a 16 by 32 foot dirt floor building. how in the world is that going to happen? And I said, I'm just telling you what's going to happen. And so then we went into the next building, and I cut out, and we grew there. Then we remodeled that and took it up to 400 people, and I cut big cardboard TV cameras out and hung them on my speakers in the front of the church. So when you looked at that, you said, what are those things? Those are my TV cameras. You know, I know visiting people thought, these guys is crazy. But, you know, when I went on television, I met with TV 44. I told them I was going to pay them 1 year in advance, and I did. And I said, that would enable them. And I said, here's how you need to do it. And because they told me, we can't do it. I said, yes, you can.
Yeah.
And so then I met with them and said, this is what the Lord told me. And I laid it out for them, and they said, how long have you been in television? I said, I've never been in television. I've watched it, but I've never been in it. And they said, you know, our engineer said this would happen.
Wow.
This could work.
Wow.
And so I was the first one they ever came out on site and filmed my Sunday mornings with a truck outside.
Wow.
And I was the first one.
Yeah.
So that was a word of wisdom. And there are many things like in the church, you know, just how we build it, how, you know, I would tell heat or the guys that put in air conditioning heat, I'd say, do this and do that, and do this. And they'd say, why are you doing that? I said, because this section needs heat in the winter. These sections do not.
Mm.
And so I don't heat our buildings.
Yeah.
Because God just gave me a word of wisdom. Now, they would say, well, that's just common knowledge. Well, if that was true, everybody would be doing it.
Yeah,
exactly. But everybody's not doing
it.
And so I think that we use those things, even the word of knowledge about to lay back. How, God, can I extract money from a limited pile to lay back for my generation. God will give you a word of wisdom.
Yeah.
He'll give you direction, and he'll help you. And so he activates things like that, Rob. But, you know, we save tens of thousands of dollars, and I've been on television for 30 years, and, you know, never been behind and never had a problem and, you know, always had great things happening on television.
Yeah.
But it was because God gave me wisdom to do it.
Absolutely.
And so, but we can use those words of wisdom Rob, to open up doors of supernatural, just like we said, you know, you get a dream, you get this. You can't just, well, write the vision, they that run it, you read it, may run. But thing of it is, how about the wisdom to start the race?
Yeah.
How about the wisdom to select the runners?
Yeah.
How about the wisdom to, you know, the place to run the race? How about the wisdom to, you know, that's what people face. I tell people, we don't have faith problems. You know, people always say, oh, I don't have enough faith. I don't. Well, you're beating the devil up every day you're saved.
Yeah.
And so you know, he's not even consideration. But when, and I say that not disrespectfully to him. I say that for an encouragement to you.
Yeah.
And now somebody would probably say, oh, well, you talked to the devil. No, you don't call the, even Michael the archangel did not bring a railing accusation.
Yeah.
Listen, you have to honor authorities and structures, even though you have authority over them and so forth. They are still beings that deserve respect, because if you don't respect your adversaries, then what you'll do is you will miscalculate him.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, he doesn't have power. All power has been given unto Jesus, but he is deceptive.
He's cunning.
And if you want to see his deceptivity, you just look around and see how many leaders have fallen, how many people have backslidden. Don't tell me he's not active. He is active. And we can't gloat over him just because we are not backslidden or separated from God.
Look, how many generals in military campaigns respected the general that was their enemy?
Oh, absolutely.
They were seeking their destruction
and
victory over them, but yet they respected them in the sense that they would learn their activities.
You bet.
They knew their strengths.
And it drove George Washington to prayer.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, all great leaders that have feared their enemies have always calculated stronger points of combat than they would have for people that they would have underestimated.
Yeah.
But if you look at leaders like George Washington and so forth, they knew their enemy. But because they knew their enemy, they, like Jehoshaphat, prayed and brought God into the situation.
Yeah.
So the word of wisdom is not just the ability to get a victorious end, it's the ability to put faith in people.
Yeah.
When I go to preach, I always preach, God, help me put faith in people tonight.
Yeah.
A word of some wisdom, you know, and that faith gets in them, and then God, help me at the end of the service to reap that faith for their miracle.
Yeah.
That Christ may be glorified. And because it takes wisdom to do it, whether you're going to say, you know, let's have a prayer line this way, or let's do it that way, this way. You know, it may seem foolish to you, but it is the way of the Lord.
Yeah.
And then the word of wisdom will teach you how to open the doors of supernatural, as it did Abraham, by speech, by activity, and, you know, even dealing with the enemy and the adversary. We need words of wisdom. You know, so many times I tell people this, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I say, nothing.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wait. And then after everything had settled down and all of the confusion and all of the murmuring and accusations is done, then I'm going to deal with what's left.
Yeah.
Because it may not be nothing. Because it may have just blown itself right out. And so, you know, but people so many times say, oh, let's deal with it. No, wisdom would say, let it burn itself out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't try to put the fire out when you got a bucket and it's 1,000 acres that's on fire.
Yeah.
Just wait till you get down to the last ember, throw it on there, and then deal with what's left. Start a charcoal business or something. you know, do something.
I think Jesus said something like that when he said, don't worry about tomorrow, for you know, there's today's a sufficient of the evil there.
Yeah.
You know, today has its own problem.
Right. And then what do you do when you deal with all those problems? You start swallowing that. I mean, swallowing camels and choking at gnats.
Yeah.
That's just the unwise way to do it. Yeah. So we are talking today, well, we got to the word of wisdom. Now, what does the word of wisdom reveal to us? Is that God knows the beginning to the end and every act takes and every response that an action will bring.
That's That's good. Yeah.
So, you know, God weighed out the earth in the hollows of his hand.
Yeah.
And so he says, wow, this is going to be here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So he realizes if there's a volcanic eruption, it's going to spew stuff here. And you know what? At that same time, this tide has got to be over here.
Yeah.
In order to keep this thing that's going this way and this way. I have no idea why we don't fly off the earth.
Yeah.
But anyway, but God is calculating all of that. And he has pre-calculated.
Yeah.
And what he does is this. God says, you know, I know my thoughts to you. I've got plan for you. My end for you is this.
Yeah.
So God will knows that I will present the word in the scripture. When we look at the word, you know what this is? This is a word of wisdom. It is God's wisdom, how to resolve issues. But what we don't see in these little scriptures, Rob, is all of the things that God has put in the promise that says, this is how the enemy's going to work.
Yeah.
This is what these people are going to do. These are going to be the accusation. This is going to be the time frame. This may erupt. This may happen in this. But if you will stay true, the wise man, his house will survive. Now, we think, well, he just did the storm. Oh, no. How about the undercurrents?
Yeah.
How about the big logs that were coming in that storm?
Yeah.
How about the other people that were yelling, hey, get back, get back. You're never going to make it.
Yeah.
How about the people that were drowning? How about the coffins that were going by? How about the other houses around him that were being swallowed up? How about, you know, the turbulent things where boats were even being turned over and all that? God predicted all that and says, look, look, all that's going to happen. Stay to what I said.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, he's calculated for a billion and one possibilities.
He's all and he says this. This is how you overcome evil. Be wise. Just do what I said.
Yeah.
So that when the Bible says love your enemies, he's already taken into account they're not going to love you. They're going to hate you. They're going to intensify. They're going to despise you. They're going to gather people against you. They're going to lie against you. They're going to create things against you. They're going to do all those things. But God says, just keep loving them because love works no ill to his neighbor.
Yeah.
And love will never fail. Never fail. I don't care how many oppositions come out of that. Loving your enemy is never going to fail. God knows you take soup or drink to your enemy. He's going to tell everybody you brought soup and he got sick.
Yeah.
And that it was a plan of you to kill him.
Yeah.
Now, see, that's the stuff that God in this right here is in the scriptures, Rob.
Yeah, amen.
Is in a promise.
Yeah.
Is that amazing?
It is amazing. Do you think that oftentimes people read the scripture just for knowledge and not for wisdom?
They read it for knowledge, not for transformation and application.
Yeah. There you go.
In other words, they don't read it to be transformed in their mind. They're protecting their way of life. But they want to observe so they can quote.
Yeah.
And then they never read it for application. But realize that the knowledge of the scripture will puff you up.
Yeah.
But application will deliver you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, if you will know the truth, and then if you continue in that truth, then are you my disciples.
Yeah.
Knowledge of the scriptures do not make disciples.
No.
It is the doing, the adhering to, that makes disciples.
All the Pharisees and Sadducees knew the scriptures. They had them memorized, and they can quote them to Jesus, but Jesus was the revelation of them all. They missed
That's right.
the wisdom that stood right before them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when Jesus quotes the scriptures, just like when he comes and says, you know, they said, yeah, but Moses gave us a writing and divorce. He said, for the hardness of your heart.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, before transgression and hardness of heart came on the scene in man because of sin, it was never that way. And there was only to be one way in the beginning that it was ever to break a covenant of marriage. And that would have been for fornication.
Yeah.
So it was still for transgression, but Jesus said it was for the hardness of heart. So he took all of these things into it and says, look, look, this was the whole truth of the matter.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't say the hardness of the heart doesn't still exist, which it does. And that's why people don't get beyond things. That's why people are hurt. That's why people continue to hurt their spouse, speak down to their spouse, and all that kind of stuff. It's because in the hardness of heart. heart was going to turn into a root of bitterness, was going to turn into unbelief, was going to be, turn into you departing from the Lord.
Yeah.
So get your act together and quit acting up and being so bullheaded and hard-hearted. Listen, the hardness of the heart and the way you're treating your spouse is a bigger revelation of what's going on the inside of you. You know, if your TV is going ding, 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 it's not the screen.
Yeah.
It is something on the inside of the TV. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, but that word of wisdom that Jesus gives is a word of wisdom that brought all of his critics.
Yeah.
Boom.
I think of the Ten Commandments, and you know, there's ten of them, but Jesus summed them all up, and love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Absolutely.
He's condensed them right down with wisdom.
That was the wisdom
of how to apply them. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it all finds its way in, look, you love.
Yeah.
You serve, you do, and you continue. That's what you do.
Yeah.
And so, but that's the word of wisdom, and it reveals to us that God is the God that knows the end and how to bring things out of destruction. He has it already calculated, and he has already predetermined that this is the best way. And there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death.
Yeah.
But the way of God, that is the wisdom of God that descends from on high, will deliver from the entrapments and the snares of hell that rules this world beneath.
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. So next week, we're going to come back. So we talked about wisdom. We've got eight other gifts that are going to reveal things about God. We're going to be going to Scripture, looking at miracles that are going to help you and show you where these are found. So continue to do what? Continue to pray for the release of the gifts in your life. Continue to pray that the Holy Ghost will lead you. Pray about 15 minutes a day if you can, for the Holy Ghost, for the gifts of the Spirit to be active in your life, and then that you fast, maybe a meal a day, 2 days, 1 day, whatever it might be, get passionate, get active about it, and then make sure that your confession, you've got a confession going out. You know, thank God the gifts of the Spirit are flowing through me, that I'm declaring Jesus Christ as Lord of my life, unveiling his resurrection and power thereof, my position with him in heavenly places, the gifts of the Spirit are manifesting. And just like, you know, now the word of wisdom is functioning through me. I am wise in the affairs of man. I am wise in dealing with my enemies. I am wise in dealing with those that do not know Christ. I am wise and able to help people. I am wise not only to input and infuse faith in others, but I am wise to be able to help them release their faith, and I am wise enough to use and apply my faith to every situation with God. And then you begin to loose the gifts every day. Every day, going down the car, you start loosening the gift of faith. I loose the gift of faith. I loose the working of miracles. I loose, God, the gifts of healing. I loose the discerning of spirits. I loose the word of wisdom, and I loose the word of knowledge. I loose today, God, in my life, tongues and diverse kinds of tongues. I loose, God, the gift of prophecy in my life today, and I loose the gift of interpretation in Jesus' name. I thank you, Holy Ghost, for glorifying Jesus, that the world may know him and that he may draw them to himself in Jesus' name. We'll see you next week right here on The Door to the Supernatural.